We sow abundantly, we reap abundantly, the Bible says. Specifically in terms of financial resources. Now, let's be super clear. This is not the prosperity gospel, okay? That's what we're doing at all. But what God does promise, he promises to give grace to those who are generous towards his kingdom. What does that mean? He promises to be abundant in grace. Could mean joy. It'll mean provision of what you need. It could mean tremendous relational peace, supernatural favor in your life. Whatever it means, God will give grace to the life that is generous towards him and his kingdom.
It's time for Live in the Light, and you have joined us today in our series on the family called Unless the Lord Builds the House. We believe that since God is the one who designed the family, he is also the one with the best knowledge about how it works correctly. If you've missed any messages on the series so far on marriage or on parenting, you can go to liveinthelight.ca and listen to those anytime. But today's message is on the topic of stewardship, how money affects the family. We are digging into the heart of this issue together and what your money says about the state of your heart. What does the way you use your finances tell about your priorities? Luke 12:34 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friend, is your heart following the things of the world, or are you using your gifts for God's glory? Turn in your Bible with me now to the book of Proverbs, and we will get back into the message with Pastor Robbie.
That we must be aware of when it comes to the worship or love of money. Hazard warning number one, the love of money easily results in burdensome debt. Burdensome debt. Turn to Proverbs 22 with me. Proverbs 22. Let's hear those pages turn, please, please. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Take a look here. Very, very important. Here's the danger of the love of money. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Now, the meaning behind rules over here is to have power over someone or authority over someone else. Listen, listen. The point here is not comparing the rich to the poor. The point here is rather the reality and the burden of excessive borrowing. That's the point. The key phrase here is the borrower is the slave to the lender. This is a significant danger of those who worship and love money. Because when we worship and love money, we are often willing to sin and to, again, and I'm not saying in this case again, but we are willing often to spend what we do not have, to incur debt, to accumulate more, and then we find ourselves in significant debt. And when that happens, we become slaves again to those that we have borrowed from. That's what the Bible's saying today. The reason this is true is when we are under significant debt under someone else, then they have control over us. And in this sense, when we allow someone, something to have such control over us, in one sense or another, we have forfeited freedom. Think of some of the extreme but very real examples of collection agencies. And they come after people. And man, like you are in danger and feel like so many cases on the run and the seriousness of that. Or think of banks and foreclosing and foreclosure again in many situations. That's very real in our day. Tremendously stressful, tremendously concerning situations where you feel like you've lost again your freedom because you have. The Bible is giving very serious warnings of the realities of assuming significant debt. It can be a massive burden. You ever thought about how the etymology of the word mortgage includes death? You ever thought about that? Mortgage. I've heard it either described as a death grip, or I think more realistically, it's a death pledge. Which means this, either you eventually kill the mortgage or the mortgage eventually kills you. And it's just good to say some of these things out loud, right? I'm not saying you should have a mortgage. I have a mortgage right now. By the way, our Beyond the Sermon podcast, which is going beyond what we can preach on a given time right now, it drops, I think, tonight or tomorrow. Michael Joshua, our director of finance, decades of experience in accounting, financial world. Tim Sesnick, again, experts within our church and the financial world as well. They are doing the podcast, and they're going to answer questions like, when is debt good? When is debt bad? They're going to answer questions on what is tithing, how much? They're going to answer questions on saving. Just, it's super, super practical. That drops again tonight or tomorrow. And that'll be such a blessing for you to take a look at as well. But debt's a problem in Canada, and we know that. Here are a few stats right now. In the third quarter of 2023, the average Canadian owed $21,000 in debt. That doesn't include mortgages. $21,000. Credit cards, lines of credit, car loans, personal loans. Credit card debt is the most common in Canada. The average Canadian right now owes $4,500 in credit cards. In 2024, Canada had the highest level of household debt to disposable income of any G7 country, according to Statistics Canada. The agency wrote that in 2021 census survey revealed the debt-to-income ratio reached more than 180%, which was beating the U.S. and Germany by a large margin. So what that means is that for every dollar Canadian households had in disposable income, they owed $1.85. Now, the reason this is so concerning, because in 1980, the rate was just 66 cents. So now we're at the point there where debt is running a ton of Canadian lives in a way that, of course, is very unhealthy. Now, we live in tough times. I get that. There's a lot of grace. Young people, like, there's a lot of grace. And yet, listen, so much that is at the foundation of overspending is idolatry. So much at the foundation of incurring and assuming debt is simply pursuing things we don't need, pursuing things we want. And because we idolize such things, we just gotta be honest with ourselves, right? In many, many of those situations, we are taking on debt because we are worshiping something other than Jesus Christ. Here's the reality. Christ followers, genuine Christ followers, have a different standard. Genuine Christ followers have a different value. Genuine Christ followers must look different, and we do not follow the idolatry of the world because our value is not in the world. Our value is in Jesus Christ. Our value is not in material possessions. Our value is in the kingdom of God. We know eternity is not about storing up treasures on earth. We know emphatically that eternity is storing up treasures in heaven. So listen, brothers and sisters, we must look different. We cannot be the same as the world. Our value system is different. Again, the way we see things is different, and how we use finances should be different. It should be different. Christ, again, speaks of this again and again and again, and as we're hearing today as well, we need the Lord's wisdom to make strong decisions, to be freed again to serve the Lord as well. So burdensome debt is a huge warning. Next, troublesome greed. Troublesome greed. Turn to Proverbs 15 now, a few pages back. Proverbs 15, verse 27. I'm there. Are you there? That didn't take long. Don't be lazy. Proverbs 15, verse 27 says this: whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household. Proverbs 15, 27. But he who hates bribes will live. So this verse speaks of greed specifically in combination with unjust gain. Proverbs repeatedly condemns unjust gain or illegal activity in regards to money. So here's a moment of wisdom for us right now. Ready? This is very important. Look here. Ready? Integrity and money are extremely important to God. You got to hear that. You got to apply that. Very clear in scripture. Integrity and wealth and money is very important to the Lord. He sees it all and he cares. He cares. Listen. He sees your cheating. He sees your fudging in certain aspects and cutting corners financially. He sees your stealing, big or small. He sees it all. He sees your shady business deal. He's not fooled by this. He sees it all and he cares. He cares. Greed is a problem to the Lord. And our integrity must care as well. A danger of the love of money, it pushes us towards sin, and sin breaks fellowship between us and the Lord. And we start to diminish and quench the Spirit of God within our lives. God sees, God cares. Next danger, love of money, futile wickedness. Turn to Proverbs 10, verse 2. Proverbs 10, verse 2. I'm there. Are you there? That didn't take long. Proverbs 10, verse 2. We see the reality of greed and a love of money and wickedness. Proverbs 10, 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 3. Proverbs 10, 3. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. So interesting here. The Bible speaks so much, the return of Christ and the reckoning of judgment that is coming, specifically in the area of the love of money and wickedness and greed. It's all kind of bunched together. The amount of people that will sit under the judgment of God as eternity begins at their obsession of money, their greed, and the wickedness and evil and the sin they committed to gather more money for themselves. Sobering. Often again, biblical wisdom helps us so much. I look at a situation of atrocious acts of evil in our world. And you look, what's behind that? Why are they doing this? So often, the wickedness and the evil, what's behind that is they want more money. They commit these horrific acts of evil because in the end, they want to gain more money. Because they think that money is the answer to their life. The Christ follower is completely the opposite. We know that money is not the answer. Christ is the answer. We know the world is not the answer. The kingdom of God is the answer. So you step back. Why would I commit sins of wickedness to get more money when in the end, the money will not do anything for me? It's Christ that does everything for me. Wisdom, 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 and righteousness, and trusting again in the things of the Lord. Genuine Christ followers are set free from such bondage and evil because of the gospel. More to come on that in a few minutes as well. We have burdensome debt, troublesome greed, futile wickedness, and then fourthly, misguided trust. The danger of the love of money is that it is misguided trust in such things. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 28. I turned one page, I'm there. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Notice, I wish the Bible is more clear, don't you? I'm joking. Look at verse 28. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall. That's clear. That's clear. But the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Love that. Look at how clear God is right now to us. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall. Wow. Wow. Everyone who trusts in riches will fall. Consider the parable of the rich fool in the Gospels. One of my favorites, the parable of the rich fool. You know, he's super wealthy guy, tons of stuff, and he runs out of space for all his stuff. Love this. What should I do? I have all this stuff. I got to store it somewhere else. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. I'll go to a storage center. I'll purchase multiple storage places. I'm going to build bigger barns and put all my stuff in the bigger barns. Then I'll say to myself, self, relax, eat, drink, be merry. Life is good. I'm blessed. I have everything. And notice what God says right there at the end of this in Luke 12. God said to him, "You idiot." My translation. But then, "You fool, fool. This night your soul is required of you. Today you die. And all your stuff and all your accumulation and all your bigger barns and all your self-talk of relax, eat, and drink. And then now you die and all of that comes to nothing. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And what's the point of this, Jesus says? "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." You dummy. You live for the world and then you die and it comes to nothing. You dummy. And that's why, again, I love this stuff, man, because I need to hear this every day. Why would we live for that, which will not last for a second after we die and we stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, held to account of what we've done with what he's given to us? Let's not be dummies, amen? Hey, but we are dummies. Hey, I'll just throw myself into this equation right here. Hey, like, I know like what's happening in the room right now. Like Orangeville, I know, and like, you know, and I know, we all know. Like, this is a problem for us people. This is a problem. There's a lot of idolatry of money in this room. This is how our world works. This is what we hear every single moment of our lives. You are what you have. You are what you own. You are, again, in your net worth. We hear this all the time. God says, fools. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Again, wisdom. Randy Alcorn provides some powerful theological insight here. He says, storing up treasures isn't simply wrong. It's just plain stupid. And Pastor Robbie said, amen. Amen. Couldn't say any better myself. It's not just wrong, it's stupid. For all the reasons we're seeing right now, right? Lots going on here right now. This is a good time in our message to double down on some application. Here are 6 signs that I love money. 6 signs that I worship money. Sign number 1, you're obsessed with becoming rich. Number 1 sign that I love money, I'm obsessed with becoming rich. This is your drive. This is your motivation. This is your entire meditation. It's what you think about. It's what consumes you. It's what you're obsessed with. That's a very strong sign. You love and worship money. Number 2, you never have enough. You are not content. You must have more. What happens here, this is what happens, right? Is so person says, well, if I can get to this level, then I'll be good. But then you get to this level, like, well, I can just get to this level, then I'll really be good. And then you get to that level, like, well, just a little bit more, and then I'll be good. That's a strong sign you love money. Never have enough. Contentment is not a thing. Always in the pursuit of more. 3, you're living beyond your means. You are willing to overspend and incur debt to have more stuff. That's a strong sign that you love money. Some of the best advice I ever got as a young man, speaking to one of the leaders of our church. He says to me, Robbie, here's some strong financial wisdom. He's like, yeah, what is it? He's like, don't spend more than you make. I was like, wow, that's powerful. Wow. It's like, I never hear that ever. And I honestly, like as simple, and in some ways, as silly as that sounds, just never forgotten that. Like, what a powerful principle. Don't spend more than you earn. Our world does not say that. But when we live beyond our means and we accumulate and incur debt, and that's a sign that money has a strong hold on our hearts. Number 4, I like to flaunt my money. I like to gladly spend on self, but I'm very cheap with others. No problem spending on self. Very cheap with others. Strong sign that I'm worshiping money. Number 5, big deal. I will sin to get more money. Cheat on tax returns. Steal from workplace. Again, shady business deals. I sin to get more money. That is a very, very concerning sign that the love of money is taking hold in your life and heart. I mean, obviously, that's just not going to be blessed by the Lord. 6thly, finally, I'm not generous towards God's kingdom. A strong sign, I love money. I'm not generous towards the kingdom of God. This is a very concerning sign, because if we're not generous towards the kingdom of God, that shows us our theology is out of whack. That shows us we don't get it. We don't get what's being taught today. Sure, we can acknowledge and nod our heads and be like, yeah. But then we live in a totally different way. Again, one of the hallmarks of the genuine Christian life following Jesus Christ is generosity. And that takes us to our 3rd and final point, which is this. The safeguard against the love of money is generosity. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 24. Didn't even have to make you turn the page. Proverbs 11, verse 24. Look, love this verse. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Very important principle there, principle of generosity. And a negative principle of stinginess. Okay, so what is the single greatest antidote to the love of money? Here it is, generosity. Generosity. The greatest way we prove that we don't worship money is we give money freely to the things of God, to the kingdom of God, to the church of God. Generosity is seen in the person who gives freely. At the same time, the generous person, the Bible says, grows all the richer. What that means then again, and I literally this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in my own readings, and of course, chapter 9 is tomorrow. But 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, specifically chapter 9, says we reap what we sow. We sow abundantly, we reap abundantly, the Bible says. Specifically in terms of financial resources. Now, let's be super clear. This is not the prosperity gospel. Okay? I know we're doing it all. But what God does promise, he promises to give grace to those who are generous towards his kingdom. What does that mean? He promises to be abundant in grace. Could mean joy. It'll mean provision of what you need. It could mean tremendous relational peace. Supernatural favor in your life, whatever it means, God will give grace to the life that is generous towards him and his kingdom. Abundantly gracious. Doesn't mean financial abundance. It means you will be financially provided for. Doesn't mean that. But it means you will have abundance of his grace in your life. A harvest of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 9 says. Whatever that is, that's going to be good. Very good. To those who sow abundantly, who are generous with their lives. Think of this too, right? Why is generosity so important to God? Because one of the greatest markers of Jesus Christ was generosity. I mean, his very being, everything he did, he gave himself. He became poor, 2 Corinthians 8, that we would become rich, spiritually speaking. So listen, 100%, no exceptions. The more we become like Jesus Christ, the more generous we become. Receive that. Take that in. How do I know I'm becoming more like Jesus Christ? I'm becoming more generous. Because that's who Jesus is. The DNA of the genuine Christ follower is generosity. Generosity. So heart check time. Would you classify yourself right now? Again, we can't trick the Lord. We can trick others and maybe try to trick ourselves, but we can't trick the Lord. Would you classify yourself someone right now as someone who gives freely or as someone who withholds what you should give? Are you someone who gives freely or someone who withholds what you should give? John Wesley, he said this, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. When a man becomes a Christian, he becomes industrious, trustworthy, and prosperous. Now, if that man, when he gets all he can and saves all he can, does not give all he can, I have more hope for Judas Iscariot than for that man. Wow. Ouch. But he's got a really good point. Just going to pause. Just want the Holy Spirit to apply. Again, hey, church. I get excited about these messages because they're so heart-based. There are a few subjects that reach the heart more than the subject today. I love that. I love it. Because when the heart is turned, the whole life gets turned. There are a few areas and sins that steal the heart away from Jesus Christ more than the love of money. That's why today is such an unusual and exciting opportunity. What's the bottom line for this entire message? It's this. Wisdom understands that money's not the answer. Biblical wisdom understands that Jesus Christ is the answer. Wisdom understands that Jesus Christ is the true treasure. See, this is the gospel. When you understand the gospel, that Christ is the treasure, the infinite treasure, then this becomes the foundation for our giving. Because we are now living for the kingdom as opposed to living for the world. This is why Jesus says, why would you store up treasures on earth that moth and rust destroy when you can store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy? And the moment he returns, everything comes to account, everything. Balance sheet, it's all there. I mean, it's all going to be so plain and clear. We have the opportunity to live for what matters now because we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is the true treasure. Let me end with one verse here from Philippians 3. This is the Apostle Paul summarizing in many ways everything we've been taught today. He says this, whatever gain I had, world, status, credibility, education, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything, consider everything as loss because of, listen, here it is, the surpassing worth, the value, the treasure of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, the worth in Christ, when I compare the worth of Christ to the things of the world, Jesus is infinitely valuable and the things of the world are rubbish. They are trash, they are dung compared to Christ. So for his sake, of Christ, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as nothing, as trash, because I have Christ. Because I gained Christ. See, Paul's value system is so theologically and biblically clear. He sees Jesus as infinitely valuable, and then everything in life is contrasted with the value of Christ. That's why Jesus tells the parable of the man who came across the field and stumbled and found the treasure. He sees the infinite worth of the treasure, sells everything he has. He buys the field because he gets the field. He gets the treasure. He has the treasure. He has infinite value. He needs nothing else. Jesus Christ is the treasure. This is why genuine Christ followers must look different, live different, and be different. Why? You see the value of the kingdom. What happens? When you see the value of Christ in his kingdom, you release your grip on the world. You release your grip on the idols. You tighten your grip on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And your faith increases as you live now for Jesus. Say one more time. You release your grip on the world. You tighten your grip on the kingdom. And your faith increases as you live for Jesus Christ and his second coming and his soon to be return. It's a powerful, wonderful, beautiful thing. Man, hey, I love staring at the world and saying out loud, you're worth nothing. You're worth nothing. It is so powerful to do so. Our world tries to say the opposite every single day. And you remind yourself, nope, in the end, it's nothing. You'll be nothing. We're called to something different. We're called to a different kingdom. We're called to a different standard. And we're called to a beautiful, awesome, infinitely valuable Savior. Amen? Okay, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Big deal today, Lord. Big deal today. You know it. I know it. I think we all know it. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, I strongly encourage you right now. Maybe the first step for you, for me, for us is repentance. Don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. Repent. Lord, I have trusted in the world. I have lived for the love of money. I have been consumed with material possessions. I have not loved you, Jesus, with my whole heart. Repent, and you will be forgiven. This could be the breakthrough of your life, your affections, and the pursuing the treasure, power, and purpose of the world. Yes, Lord, move in this church. Would you set people free today? Oh, that'd be so exciting. Set people free, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves and to be willing. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I don't trust the world. I trust the Lord. I want to live for the kingdom. We pray this now in Jesus' name.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.